Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Memorial Heights Baptist Church podcast. Here you'll find archived all of our previous messages dating back to late 2020. Our hope is that today's message would be encouraging to your walk with Christ. We also want to thank you for spending time listening today and encourage you to share these messages with a friend so they too might hear the Word of God. But for now, grab your Bible, open your ears, and let's get to it.
Good evening, everyone. If you'll go ahead and head to 1 John chapter 2, we'll be there in just a section. We'll be moving this week out of one of the topics that we began, that God is light, moving into the section number 2, that God is love, and talking about we as Christians walking in love. And so love is the very heart of this first epistle of John. The word love is found 33 times. So there's a great emphasis on love in John chapter 1. And so the first section that we're going to look at here is how we have fellowship with each other. We ended last week talking about fellowship with God and how that is broken when we have sin in our lives. And so we're transitioning now about having fellowship one another with the brethren. And we'll begin that this week, and we'll finish the next time that I pick up here in a couple weeks. But let's begin with 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. And it says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." And so he's again beginning right off talking about assurance. And so this verse is talking more about the assurance that a Christian can have, more than the security of the believer. Again, in the 1 John, he is talking to the family of God. We talked about it a lot in the first several times that we've got together. So he's talking to believers here, and he's talking about how you can know that you are in the family of God. But how can we have this assurance? So he's telling us that assurance comes by keeping his commandments. It says, if we keep his commandments. Now, he's not talking about the Ten Commandments. Again, we have enough people, enough groups out there that think that keeping certain rules and regulations and commandments are how we can get to heaven. But we're going to find out tonight that that's not what is being referred to here. So John is not talking about any legal aspects that we need to deal with. He's talking about, again, us as a family and family matters. The Ten Commandments were given to a nation. And on these commandments, every civilized nation has based its laws. The Ten Commandments are for the unsaved. God had something different for his family, for his children. For example, if you look in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "The family is told, bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ." And then in 1 Thessalonians 4, 2, Paul tells the family of Christ, "For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." It goes on further, later in 1 Thessalonians, if you look at the last chapter, I've counted 22 different commandments in that chapter. So there's commandments here specifically to us as Christians. And a few of those in the last chapter of 1 Thessalonians include rejoice evermore. You know, that is for us as believers a command. You know, are we rejoicing? You know, God wants us to be joyful Christians. You know, too many times we look around and we see Christians that seem like they're in the dumps all the time, that they're frowning and they're complaining. And, you know, we should be joyous Christians. You know, we should have something that the world wants. And if we're not filled with joy, they're not going to want it. Also, it says that we should pray without ceasing. Again, that's a command to us as Christians. And so it refers to an attitude of prayer. So when we get off of our knees, when we leave the sanctuary on Sundays, you know, we don't leave prayer behind. You know, we are to walk in that prayerful attitude. It also says in that verse, in that passage, to quench not the Spirit. You know, when the Holy Spirit is leading us, you know, we should not say no. We should not quench the Spirit. You know, that is a command to us as the believers. And so if we want to have fellowship with the Father, if we want to have that relationship that we talked about last week and we're continuing this week, you know, we need to make sure that we want to keep these types of commandments. You know, we should feel as Christians that we're not free to do as we want. We as Christians should want to do what Christ wants in our lives. And he goes on and says, and hereby we do know that we know him. So remember, several weeks ago when we got started here, we know that the first epistle of John was wrote to kind of combat some of the thought that the Gnostics had at that time. Again, they brought forth that they had a super knowledge, more than the normal people of the day. And so what John is answering here is the claim that we can know God. It is not just a special group of people. You know, you and I, you know, believers, can have a relationship that at that time the Gnostics said that they were the only one that had. And how can we have assurance that we are in the family of God? Well, sadly today, there's many folks that believe in the security of the believer, but they don't have the assurance of salvation. And a lot of times, the reason is obvious. We cannot know that we are children of God if we are disobedient to Him. Obedience to Christ is essential, and it's the very basis for the assurance of our salvation. We cannot have that type of assurance, even though a lot of people today try to bluff through it and, you know, try to act like they are Christians. But deep down in your heart, we as Christians know that we know Him, you know, if we keep His commandments. Now let's continue on to the next verse and see as John continues this pattern. And he says in verse 4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Again, it ties in with some verses that we looked at last week. And John is very straightforward. You know, he doesn't beat around the bush. It's very plain talk. And so in the first verse we looked at tonight, he says that we know him, so the positive side. And so we know by experiences, in contrast to the knowledge that the Gnostics talked about. But now he's presenting the negative side, that disobedience to Christ is a proof that we do not know him. So this is plain, indirect, saying disobedience to Christ on the part of a professing believer is tantamount to being a liar. Again, he seems to be able to call people out pretty readily. Today we don't do that very good. If a preacher preaches that, you know, it upsets a lot of people and probably gets a few phone calls. But what he means is your life is a lie. If we profess Christ as our Savior, but we have a life filled with sin, our life is a lie. You know, we're saying something different than what we profess. And again, sadly today, there's a great many people all around us and probably many that we know that profess that they're Christians. They profess that they know Christ, but really, do they truly possess eternal life? You know, a lot of times these people don't want to obey the Lord. So it's hard for me to believe that these church members or people that profess, and I'm not talking about this specific church, I'm talking church in general, profess Christ as their Savior, but their life is far from that. And so it's really tough to believe that they have been regenerated if they don't show Christ that they love him. And so John is making it very clear that we know him because we keep his commandments. Again, John is not talking about the set of commandments in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments given to the nation of Israel. John is talking here about the new commandments that Christ gave to the church. John is talking about if you are a child of God and do not have a love for these commandments, you know, as it says in Acts 8:23, that's the very gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity that Scripture is talking about. The Lord Jesus, when he was here in the flesh, said of the Father in John 8:29, I do always those things that please him. You know, sadly, I can't say that, but I certainly want to. I want to strive to do the things that please our Heavenly Father. Again, because of the sin nature that we talked about, we still deal with, you know, that is not true like it was for Christ. But as a Christian, you know, are we striving to please him? And also in John 3:36, it says, he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. You know, that is what makes us a Christian. You know, do we believe on the Son of God? So when we do believe that, when we keep his commandments, our life strives to do that, that helps us have the assurance that our faith in God is real and that we are a part of the family of God. The natural man will never want to do God's will. He wants to live for himself and not to keep the commandments. And in this person, John says, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. The truth is not in a man who claims to be a child of God, but does not keep his commandments. Let's continue on to verse 5. And John continues and says, but whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. And so, in this verse, we want to make sure that we know there's a difference between the word of God and commandments of God. And some may say that it can be interchanged, which they certainly can, as we see in the book of Psalms. But here, we know that commandments are part of the word of God, but the word of God is not just commandments. The word of God is more than just commandments. The word is the expression of the will of God by commandments or otherwise. In the Word of God, we have his complete revelation to us about his will for our lives. In John 14:15, the Lord made the statement, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And then about 8 to 9 verses later in John 14:23, he said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And so, what exactly is the distinction here? And so, here's a little illustration that may help us out. Suppose that there's a young boy who lives on a farm, lives in the country, and he gets to the point where his father, who farms the land, needs him to help out some. And he says, son, when you come home from school, I'll have the field work done, and then I'll milk the cows in the evening, but I need you to cut the wood, both for the stove and also for your meal. You know, stack it on the porch and let your mother know each evening when you have it done. So day in and day out after school, this boy came home, and he followed the commandments that his father had given him. He chopped the wood. He prepared the wood for the dinner, also for the fireplace, every night like he was supposed to. And then one morning at breakfast, his father wasn't feeling very good and said that, I don't know if I'll be able to get all the work done in the field and get the cows milked that evening. But the boy went to school, and the father did as much as he could outside. Well, the father came home, or the son came home, and the father hadn't got the milk done. So the son, you know, was able to do all his commandments, was able to cut the wood. And when he finished doing all that, he then went and milked the cow. And so the son followed the commandments, but because of his love for the father, he went and helped the father out by doing more than just what the commandments were. And so we as Christians today should feel the same way about the Lord. Do we love the Lord so much that we're willing to do more than just the very basics in our Christian life? You know, do we truly want to obey God, or do we just want to obey a few rules that make us feel good about ourselves enough to think that we're going to get to heaven that way? And so today, you know, from what I gather, there's a lot of people out there that want to be a Christian, but want to do the very minimum to get by. You know, they want to be right on that gray line. They want to live like the world as much as they can, you know, but they want to also say that they're a Christian. And it's really sad. You know, so many times people ask, can I do this or can I do that and still be a Christian? Well, the answer that we should give a person like that is that that is not a question that we should ask. The question should be, what can I do to please my Heavenly Father? You know, too many times we want to see, what can I do to please myself that I can get away with as a Christian? You know, we should be willing to sacrifice worldly pleasures to please our Heavenly Father. And too many times we see today that Christians want to take their Christian liberty and not care about what the Lord feels. You know, if it's not something that's completely mentioned not to do in the Bible, today a lot of people say, you know, we can't talk against this or against that because it's not mentioned here. And so again, they want to walk that fine line between loving Christ and loving the world. And again, it's not something that works. Again, if you love me, Christ says, keep my commandments. And if a man love me, he will keep my words. And so do we do just the very basic things as a Christian, or do we show God that we love him so much that we'd be willing to go that extra mile? Again, as we talked about last week, a lot of times also, we only think about sins of commission and not the sins of omission. You know, James said in James 4:17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So sadly, I know that there's many things in my life that I should be doing, but I don't. You know, whether it is scared to do this, scared to stand up for Christ, you know, whatever it may be, but they're just as bad as sins of commission, things that we know to do good and that we don't. And so once again, verse 5 is very, very important. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. That is, realized in practice. You know, we put it into practice. You know, is that something that we do? Hereby, or by this know we, that we are in him. When the love of God is perfected in you, it means you have past the commandments and that you just want to please God. You know, are we at that point in our Christian lives that we don't have to go step by step by step, making sure that we have all everything checked, every T crossed, every I dotted? You know, do we love others, love God, and want to show him that? Do we take that inventory of ourselves? You know, about our attitude towards sin. Does sin trouble us like it should? You know, do we realize, as we talked about last week, that it breaks that fellowship with our Heavenly Father? You know, does it cause us, when we realize it, to cry out and say, oh God, I am wrong, and I want to confess these things that I've done? You know, does it make us realize that we have that fellowship that is broken with our Heavenly Father? But the good thing is, as we talked about last week, God is there, willing and able to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants to restore that relationship. and have that fellowship and allow us to have that assurance of salvation that comes to our hearts. Continuing on, next verse, 1 John 2:6, says, "He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." We certainly cannot do all that Christ did or was, but if we set our hearts on the things of our Father's will, the things that Jesus Christ put uttermost in his life, you know, then we are walking in the same manner as he walked. Again, we talked about last week, you know, those of us that say we're out without sin, he calls us a liar. So we realize that we are sinners, but that should not be the pattern of our life. Our pattern should be sinning less and less and walking more like Christ did each and every day. A lot of times today in the Christian realm, people use the word commitment. It's not necessarily, you know, a bad thing. And so a lot of times after invitations, if you hear or watch, you know, they make the comment, "Do you want to commit your life to Christ?" You know, what exactly do they mean by that? Well, John was talking here about being in full commitment. And when you are in full commitment, that is love. This is the love that John's talking about here. If you really are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, that is loving him and keeping his word. We can't help it to do that if we love him. So if you want to please this person that you say you love, he tells us how we can in his word by keeping his commandments. So the question is not, are you committed to Christ? The question should be, do you love Christ? And continuing on, next verse, 7, says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning." And so, well, we talked about a few weeks ago, the beginning that we talked about is the same here. It's the incarnation of Christ. It began at Bethlehem. It worked itself out in a carpenter shop and in 3 years of public ministry. The commandment which he had from the beginning was what the Lord gave to his apostles when he was with them on earth and repeated many times. For example, in John 13, verses 34 and 35, we read, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. But this shall all men know, that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." And John then said in verse 15, John 15, 10 and 12, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." So John is saying here, this old commandment is what I'm giving to you, is what the Lord Jesus said when he taught here upon the earth. Continuing here in 1 John 2:8, it continues with that thought. "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth." So why is it a new commandment for believers who are regenerated and indwelt by the Holy Spirit? Because it was given on the other side of the cross, before the coming of the Holy Spirit. On this side, it's new, but before Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, that was old. So believers are to do the will of God, and the will of God, first of all, is to love him. This identifies us as believers. Also, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth, the believer ought to be able to say that he is getting to know God better and better each day. And how can we get to know God better and better if we're not in his word? Again, if we are believers, you know, and we want to have that fellowship with God our Father, you know, what are we doing to become closer to him? The written word reveals the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the bread of life, and he's the water of life. And without him, we will famish if we don't feed upon that. And so again, one of the big problems I see today is that we have a majority of people who claim to be Christians, claim to be believers, who are trying to follow as few rules as possible and want to go through as they're a programmed computer. But again, they're not living. They're not making a choice of loving the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we are not programmed like that. We have our free will. We're human beings. We are, if you're a Christian, a child of God, have a new nature. And although we still have that old nature that we talked about, that it says in Romans 7:18, dwelleth no good thing in you, but our new nature should want to do the will of God. It wants to please him. It also says in that verse that the darkness is past and the true life now shineth. But it should be better translated, the darkness is passing. Now we can look around and see that the darkness is not past yet. The darkness is all around us. And too much time, you know, today, you know, we do not know the Word of God like we should. And we see a lot of ignorance of the Word of God all around us. You know, many years ago when most of us were younger, even if you weren't a Christian, you know, people knew most of the major stories of the Bible. You know, these days, you know, you ask some people some of the basic stories of the Bible, and they look at you like you're clueless. So people really have an ignorance of God's Word today. Continuing on, 1 John 2, verse 9. He that saith, he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. Let's look at that again. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. So basically, John is saying it is impossible for you as a child of God to walk in the light and hate your brother. If you do hate another Christian, it means that there's something that's radically wrong with your confession of faith. Now, this doesn't mean that there's going to be someone that manners or habits, you know, you object to. It doesn't mean that there won't be some believers that have certain lifestyles or things that you don't approve of. It's certainly understandable. But to hate them reveals that you're in darkness. And hatred of a fellow believer is evidence that a person is not in the light. And we just spent some time looking about God in the light. This is something we need to keep in mind. In Ephesians 4:18, Paul says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. This is the condition of mankind by nature. But our condemnation is not because of that we are that by nature, but it is because we've made the choice not to accept the Savior, but to reject him. We're not responsible because we are born in darkness. We are responsible because we reject the light that comes through us through the Word of God. So if we walk in light, it will chase away that darkness. Instead of turning from its searching rays, let it search your heart. If a man keeps on rejecting this light, there will come a day when God will withdraw the light altogether. And so the last two verses we're going to look at today is verses 10 and 11. And John's giving a little test here. And he says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in the darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eye. So when the Lord Jesus was here on earth, he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8:12. So can we apply that to our own lives? You know, have we trusted Christ as our Savior? You know, is he our light? Is he the one that's guiding us so that, you know, we are not hating our brothers and sisters in Christ? There's a small poem by a gentleman named Horatius Bonner that talks about this, and it says, I am this world's light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise, and all thy days be bright. I looked to Jesus, and I found in him my star, my sun, and in that light of life I'll walk till traveling days are none. Again, are we looking to Christ to be that light for us? You know, there is so much darkness that's all around. You know, are we as Christians letting that light, and then as we start today, the love of Christ? Again, I know that there are believers who have habits that each of us dislike. We might have distaste for some of their expressions, for some of the things they do. Probably have personalities that clash with another brother or sister. And so that cannot mean that we hate them. As Christians, we need to make sure of that. You know, too many times we believe if we don't love them or not close to them, you know, the opposite, we must hate them. And that certainly should not be the case. You know, that is the world, you know, infiltrating the thoughts of the church. You know, just because we have disagreements with brothers and sisters, we certainly shouldn't have hate for them. So John here has given a tremendous statement that says, he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. If you want to know for sure that you're a child of God, apply this test to your life. You know, are you hating a brother and sister in Christ? You know, does that have you dwelling in darkness? Or do you have the love for the brethren that John is telling us to have, where that light is shining through us? And so, again, we are moving from the God is light into the God is love section. We'll continue that, you know, here in a couple weeks when we come back with this lesson. But again, you know, throughout this week, ponder on this. You know, do we love the brethren? You know, do we love the Father? You know, do we think that we're just going through the motions as a Christian? You know, or are we serving him because we love him and trying to go above and beyond? Now, let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer as the gentlemen come forward to get the microphones. Our gracious Heavenly Father, once again, we just thank you for how good of a God you are. Father, we thank you for each and every person that came out in this midweek service. Father, we just thank you for their desire, which shows a love for you to be in a house with other believers. Father, we are a very needy people. We'll be going through many requests tonight, Lord, and you know each and every need that we have. Again, Lord, we love you. We praise you. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.
That's all for today. I hope this has made a positive impact in your relationship with Jesus. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior and you'd like to know how, give one of our pastors a call at 301-724-5876. We would love nothing more than to share the good news with you. If you've never joined us in person, we have services multiple times throughout the week that we would love to see you at. They are Sunday morning Bible study at 9:15 a.m., Sunday morning service at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening service at 6:30 p.m., and Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We also have opportunities for our students to gather. The youth group for grades 6 through 12 meets at 6 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, and our WANA program for 6th grade and under meets at 6:15 p.m. on Wednesdays. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon. But until next time, stay faithful.